Yes. Hey, folks, welcome to the Money Flow Trading Society's podcast, Mastering the Trade. I'm your host, Gerald Peters. Always remember, whatever you think about comes about. Whatever you focus on grows. Today, I don't have a guest. It's just little old me. This is a recent Twitter Spaces that I did. I try to do one or two of these a week. They're just thoughts of ideas. And today, I'm riffing off of page 10 in my new ebook, The Two Selves, How to Be 10 Foot Tall and Bulletproof. I hope you enjoy it. God bless. All right. We got three going now. Yes. Welcome to the Money Flow Trading Society's podcast, Mastering the Trade. We're here with just me today. And just thoughts, thinking. I'm testing video recording this with a different platform. We'll see how well that works. You have to test this stuff. If you ever want to post in like some kind of meaningful way, if you ever want to do that, you're going to have to learn to make multiple pieces of content out of one piece, you know? You can't just get stuck on one platform. You got to experiment. You got to try other things and, you know, you're going to mess it up and get things wrong. And you just try and do the best you can. That's all you can do. If you have my, I put this out. It's been, a couple months ago now. I've had a few people tell me they did the 45 days. Most people buying this could not possibly do the 45 days. It's just not in them to do something like that. Ask yourself why you can't do that. If I asked the people that bought this, if they read the opening mantra to themselves for 45 days, it's shocking what can happen to you when you do that and you believe it and you consistently, through the power of repetition, you can brainwash yourself. Like, you can believe shit that's not true wholeheartedly. We see it in cults and religions to the point where you change lives. Other people's lives, your lives, just through the power of belief is fascinating. So you definitely want to be working on yourself, man. But in that ebook, I said on page 12, if you'd read that to yourself twice a day, and it opens with, I'm wealthy, I'm abundant, and I'm free. I'm free from the opinion of others. That right there could set some people free, man. Imagine if you said that to yourself twice a day. I really don't give a shit what other people think. I really don't give a shit what other people think. Imagine if you just said that all the time. Let's share this in a tweet while we're here. I only seek to compete with myself, not any man or anyone outside of his desire in me. And that comes right from the book. Each of these little pieces comes from somewhere in my teachings or things that I've gathered. That comes right out of the book, The Science of Getting Rich, that there is no competition. I'm not in competition with Chris Johnson. He's not in competition with me. I'm not in competition with any other trader or any other group or any other strategy. I'm not in competition with any other landlord. I'm not in competition if I was in dry cleaning. I'm not in competition with other dry cleaners. I'm in competition with me. And if you focus on that and be generous and kind to other people, it's amazing what can happen. So stop seeing yourself in competition. And that's hard. It's a hard concept, especially from people who've been involved in competitive sports for a lot of years. I'm one, and I'm one with mankind. In other words, I'm in the money flow. I'm just in the flow of the market, up or down, doesn't matter. I'm in the flow. One direction doesn't make me happy, and the other direction makes me sad. Like, you have got to rise above that to ever be in control of the markets or in control of your emotions around the markets. I seek to harm no one. I mean, that's self-evident. Like, why do we want to hurt people? If you do, that's bad karma. It's actually bad for business. You're going to have a hard time prospering if you seek to just hurt people. It is the world who will assist me. Now, what is this setting up? It's setting up this idea that you hear me say a lot, that all the money that I want and that you want is in the pockets, purses, wallets, checkbooks, and credit cards of other people. Sometimes when I say it that way, people are like, wow, that sounds like, no. If you're a car salesman, other people have your money. If you sell real estate, other people have your money. If you run a retail store, other people have your money. So it says, it is the world who will assist me. And this is going to tie into our lesson today, which is on the chapter, Be Careful What You Argue For, on page 10. Other people have my money, strangers. Now, here's the funny part. We go around telling our kids, don't talk to strangers. All you're doing is programming your kids to be broke. Don't talk to strangers. And then guess what? They grow up in life afraid to talk to strangers. And then the people who are not afraid to talk to strangers, who will just talk to anyone, we're like, what's wrong with you, man? Why do you do that? We've actually programmed society to be poor. We teach our children to avoid the source of all of their money. It's crazy to me when you understand this concept. We fear other people. That's weird, because they have what you need. It is the world who will assist me. Other people have my money, strangers, because I am their servant first. I know that. What does that mean? Well, one, it's right out of the Bible. It's better to serve than to receive, right? Better to give than to receive. But what is that about? Service. Meaning, if you want to grow a successful restaurant, you have to serve your customers. So it starts this. What this is programming your brain is all of these little things that are books. Each one of these little sentences is a book on its own. But this is just shortcutting it and programming your brain. Because I'm their servant first, I know that money comes through serving other people. Please bring me more people to serve, to help. Their prosperity is my prosperity. I know not where they are, who they are, but I know they exist, meaning it's complete strangers. I'm only looking for people who are looking for me. Please give me the proper wisdom to discern the good from the bad, and I have everything I need inside of me to be all that I've been called to be. I am grateful. You got to end with that. Even when you don't feel it. Thank you. Now that's the prayer, meditation, whatever you want to call it, mantra on page 12. And I said, if you say that twice a day in one long run without my commentary, it could radically change the way you view life. And you'll instantly respond to situations different than maybe you would have in the past because of that repetition of putting it into your brain. But on page 10 of the ebook, The Two Selves, I talk about be careful what you argue for. Let me see. Do we got any people on here? We got a couple. Not as many as normal. We got a couple. That's all right. Be careful what you argue for. Matter of fact, what you argue for is the shit you get to keep. You get to keep that in your life, man. So whatever, you know, if you want more of it, let's see. Invite it. Nah, we don't want to invite the DM. Let's share it on Twitter. Hold on, we're sharing this. We got to do some marketing, man. Let's send that on Twitter. Anyway, careful what you argue for. Now, what do you mean by argue? Think of all the things you've gotten in arguments for. Gotten an argument with your brother and sister. Maybe it turned into a fist fight. Man, I see people argue over the dumbest things. I watched two guys get in a fight in the McDonald's drive-thru. They were about to go to pistols over the place in line at McDonald's. And it's like, what a dumb thing to die for. McDonald's? You possibly are the two dumbest humans I've ever met. And I wanted to tell them that, but they looked like they were getting pretty heated. Now, obviously, that didn't have anything to do with McDonald's. That had something to do with some sense of pride or being tough or just some other dumb thing that... Hey, I hate to interrupt this podcast, but listen, I got to pay some bills. Podcasts are free for you, not free for me. YouTube's free for you, not free for me. Publishing newsletters, it's free for you, not free for me. So I'm not monetized on YouTube or any of that stuff because of my cursing and sometimes my explicit content. So it makes it hard to be monetized. So the only way I make money and able to keep this Gerald Peters show going is through my courses, books, and one-on-one consultations. If you don't know, I do one-on-one phone consultations to discuss your situation, my years of experience. I've been doing real estate, stock investing, and trying to be an entrepreneur, studying sales and marketing for over 20 years now. I became a millionaire 8 years into the journey. And I am where I am today. I haven't had a job since in almost 20 years. So I know a couple things about investing, marketing, being an entrepreneur, building an audience, and making money.
That's what I can bring to the table in our conversations. And if I could have spoke to me before I was 35 or before I was 30, and I wouldn't have had to wait so long, I wonder what I could have done with another 5 to 7 year cycle. I probably would have doubled my net worth today. You have that opportunity. If you'd like to book a call with me and we can talk, calls 30 minutes to an hour, up to you. Go to geraldpeters.info, GeraldPeters.info. Let's talk about you and your situation. If you're in situation right now, a piece of advice could be the difference between hundreds of thousands of dollars. A chance meeting, I talk about this in my new ebook, a simple chance meeting could change your life. Maybe that's me and you meeting. I look forward to talking to you. Back to the podcast.
They think is important in life. And yet they'll argue for that, and they're not arguing for higher pay at work. Like, they're not fighting for an Airbnb. They'll go to guns and kill each other in a fucking parking lot over McDonald's, but I don't see anybody killing people to get Airbnb properties. I don't see anybody doing that to get in the gym or to read more books. Like, the things that could actually benefit their life, change their life, like, that's the shit you're supposed to fight for and argue for. Like, you can have an argument over that. You should fight. And sometimes people will say to me, you know, how do I get my spouse on board? Maybe fight. Like, maybe that's a fight you need to have. You ever heard the phrase, the good fight? There are good fights. You know, now you'll fight with them over the dumbest things. This is something worth fighting for. So, you know, you got to ask yourself, like you might need to fight for it. And I don't mean in a bad way where you hit them or anything like that. But I mean, maybe you got to put some energy behind it. Maybe you got to try. And like, some things are worth fighting for. This is one of those things. Your financial freedom is something that you fight for. And then imagine these two idiots ready to kill each other in a parking lot over a place in line at McDonald's. Imagine if you had half that enthusiasm toward your life, or people who could board an airplane with the belief that they're going to do something for God and take down a city and cause a war that results in billions of people dying. Imagine if you had the courage and the commitment and the wherewithal that those people, that was it, 9 or 11 people that boarded that airplane on 9/11. Imagine if you felt that way about your dreams, that you were willing to go all in, to put all the chips on the table and with complete repetition of faith, man. You didn't board that plane because you just joined the group. It took a lot of brainwashing to get you there. Well, guess what? Financial freedom takes a lot of brainwashing, because all the shit that's been put in your head from the outside world of what's important, what you're supposed to do, when you're supposed to do it, there's a litany of those things. Well, it's Christmas. You got to do this. But it's their birthday. You got to do this. And you got to do, there's about 50 of those things that other people put on you that you have to do. Maybe not. Maybe don't. Maybe you're fighting a different cause. I don't know. A lot of things we surrender to, man. A lot of things we just accept. I work Monday to Friday. I take 2 days. Most of the people I meet that are broke, that I speak, that I coach, I do one-on-ones and try to help people with their situation. Man, a conversation with a stranger could be worth $1 million to you. One idea. I mean, and often I'll be speaking with someone and I'll be like, listen, this is what I would do. Boom, boom, boom. That's going to take you like 18 months. And if they do that, it's the difference between $0 and $200,000. But the thing is, I can't make them the next day execute on it. I can't give them the courage or the belief or the faith or the belief in themselves. I can't give them that. But I can lay out the logic of what could happen, you know? And this morning I posted on my story about the beach. I had to argue for that beach house, man. They didn't just give me that. That was a 16-year argument. Meaning I went all in on a house number 4, 16 years ago, 17 now. And it was all the money that I had. When I say all, I mean all the money. I had none, all my money. I didn't even get in stocks till I had 5 houses. And it took 18 months to fix it. Now, by most people's standards, when I hear people break down real estate to me, it's like, okay, I guess if you're a guru sitting on a fucking mountaintop, I guess that's how it works. But life doesn't work like that. And people are like, well, that's a good deal or a bad deal. And it's like, you don't know if it's a good deal or a bad deal because you don't know the future. Good deals aren't based on the outcome 30 days later, or that you were successfully able to flip it, or that you collected so much in cash flow. Life's not that simple, man, because you don't know what's going to happen. And what could have been a good deal 3 years later turns into a monstrosity, or any bad thing could happen. And like what was good is now bad. And then also what was bad could become your best deal. And so judging it based on some arbitrary length of time is so ridiculous. And that's what people that only invest in index funds do. Well, then it beat the index. First off, I'm not constrained to a 12-month window, man. That's not what I'm trying to be. You know, that's not what I'm trying to do, man. And if you understand the flow of stocks in stage ones and twos, maybe I get 2 years to accumulate on a two or, you know, one before it explodes up 300%. And yeah, then I ended up doing 40% a year over those 3 years, not 9% that the S&P does. And yet for most of them, I was in the red. You know, and I had a kid post this morning, oh, he said DS was going to $5. So I guess arbitrarily on his fucking timeline, it didn't happen the way he wanted it to happen. But here, guess what? God's not on your timeline, dude. So you don't get to be the arbiter judge of what he did or didn't, because the game ain't over. I'm still in it, still playing, still accumulating. It just didn't happen in his little minnow mind time frame. And so most people's minds are minnows and their time frame is ridiculous. And it's not, we're not even constrained. Time is an arbitrary thing. It was made up, man. I'm not on the same timeline as someone else. So what if it takes me 2 years or 3 years or 9 years? Who gives a fuck 10 years later? And this, and a lot of the things that people worry about on a day-to-day basis about real estate is fucking nonsense. That's the truth. It's fucking nonsense. You won't even be thinking about it in 4 years. You won't even remember this was a problem. You won't even remember it. You mean houses I drove by that I lost bids on over $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, and I can't even remember why we didn't buy it. Like, what was the deal? And now the house has doubled. And so most of the things that people are hang up on, it's just nonsense, you know? And so be careful what you argue for. You always get to keep it, man. What will you argue or think? Let's see. Let me just read what I wrote. What you argue for, you always get to keep. But what makes it better is that what you argued for or stood for years ago is where you are today. So that shit you were fighting for 3 years ago, let's say it was nothing. You got nothing. You got nothing. Maybe you were fighting like my dipshit friends that I bumped into in a parking lot at McDonald's over ego or some other ridiculous thing. They're going to end each other's lives in line at McDonald's. These are minnow minds, dude. I see them all the time at concerts when I'm out and about, people fighting and arguing. I always think, man, I wonder if they ever argued for their money, like they arguing with this stranger at a concert over being pushed. I wonder if they'd ever argue for their money like that, how rich they'd be. Maybe their kids wouldn't go to college with debt if they'd have argued for a minute against debt. So be careful what you argue for. So a lot of times people say, do you think I should take on this debt? No. Why are you making a case for it? And so what I see people do mostly is make a case for debt. They argue for it. They're like, yeah, but what about this? And I can take this percentage here. And he's like, listen to what you're arguing for. You're arguing for more debt, bro. Like, stop justifying it. Argue against it. Get pissed against it. Like, dude, take the opposite of the argument, man. That's how you do it. But most people are rationalized stupid, and they argue, and they'll explain why, and they're sitting around. Instead of just saying, listen, I shouldn't do this, and boom, I'm just going to argue against it. I'm not going to try to justify it in any weird way. And if you just live like that, guess what? You just accumulate, man. Because if you don't have debt, the only thing is to go up, right? You understand that? If you don't have any debt, you make a dollar, you have positive net worth. But if you have debt and make a dollar, you're still negative. And that takes an awakening to see that. I'm not talking mortgage debt either. I'm talking all the other things. So at some point, you got to argue for this shit. And so one of the things that I argue for you is dividend stocks. Like, I argue for them. Like, I am going to put money in them. I'm arguing for that. I have to fight for that, man, because it's not easy. And the world will stop you. Your spouse, your kids, family, business, other things are going to vibe for that money in time. And you have to fight for it. So money doesn't accidentally get into an Airbnb. I fought for that shit. So I went all in 17 years ago, all my money on a property that was a complete disaster. It took 18 months to get it up. And by any definition of any guru I've ever met on YouTube or Instagram, they'd be like, that wasn't a very good deal. Was it, sir? Was it not a good deal? Because 17 years later, I flipped it. Made about 400 grand on the deal, all said and done, and bought a peach house that made me 6,100 this month in profit. Tell me how it wasn't a good deal, fortune teller. So understand that when you speak, when you hear people teach on these things, it's in a very limited window of time that they're trying to explain these things. Oh, that's a good deal and that's a bad deal. You don't know that because you can't read time. You might move on the one that's a good deal and the roof falls in, caves and kills you. Was that a good deal? Well, maybe you should have bought the bad deal and you'd still be alive. That would be a better deal, right? So it's like, oh, like, I mean, you don't know, man. That's my point. You don't know. Oh, I should have done this business. Okay, maybe you would have done that business. Then you got on an airplane to go up for the meeting and a plane crashed. Would that have been a good business? No. So I mean, my point to that is it's not as cut and dry as that. It's not as simple as that. It can't be codified as simple as this or that or how much it was or what was the return. It's not as simple as that when you add life to the mix, man. When you start to add life and you get past these little time windows, man. What you argue or think, let's see, what makes it better is what you argued for and stood for years ago is where you are today. Will you argue or think this message is no big deal or you've heard it before? Does it have less value because it wasn't part of a seminar or a college course or a conference? Does it need to be expensive for you to take it seriously? How much do you need to spend in order to believe in you? How many books, courses, or seminars do you need to purchase to take action? And this is an actual thing that I've really, really contemplated on and wondered it. For whatever reason, when people spend money for something, they take it serious. If they get it free, they don't. And I don't know what that's about. I guess it's a value equation. And yet the greatest things in life are free. That's the fucked up part to that. And it goes back to kind of the polarity nature of what I talk about in this book. A stage two is just an upside down stage four, man. A stage three is just a one. There's love, hate, high tide, low tide. There's all these polarities in the universe, you know? You know, for whatever reason, if we feel like we spent a lot of money in it, we feel like it's valuable. And if we didn't spend a lot of money, it's not that valuable. And the truth is, you fall in love and it's usually free. I mean, I don't know, we can call it love if you had to pay for it, right? You know, the best times you have with your kid is probably just rolling around on the floor, right? You know, it's the simple things. And the older you get, the more you see this too. It's not so much when you're younger, but the older you get, you realize, man, just having a nice $200 dinner and not worrying about paying for it, I mean, that's priceless, you know? And you know, how much do we got to pay to value something? It's a weird concept, man. Next time someone says, hey, what you think about comes about or what you focus on grows, will your negative and oppressive practical side say, yeah, that's easy for you to say, but... Question, has listening to your negative side, has that worked out for you? Know this, now this is the key part to this. This is so important. This has been this way in my life and hopefully in yours. You are two, maybe three people away from not only a breakthrough, but an entirely new life experience. How do I know? Because that substance is known as life force, and that it circulates and assembles more life in order for itself to live stronger and with more power, and it uses people like me and you and those who are open to it. You see, all the money that you want is in the pockets, purses, wallets, checkbooks, and credit cards of other people. We are all connected through this same life force. Be it the collective consciousness, or if you prefer, God. And back to what I was saying, we tell our children, oh, don't talk to strangers. It's funny, little Johnny, because all the money you want's in other people's pockets. So you better talk to them. You better talk to them better than your parents did. That's what I always tell kids. You should talk to strangers. Don't listen to that. Strangers have money. That blows people's mind, man. Most valuable lessons in life are free. There's no cost to them. Other people have your money. If you go through life avoiding them, can't speak to them, don't like to talk, guess what? You're not going to make much money, probably. You know, probably. I mean, there's exceptions to that. Obviously, there's exceptions to everything in life. But be careful playing the exceptions. You're like, well, Tiger Woods, he's good at golf. I could be at golf. Okay, maybe. 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 What if you don't have hands? It's going to be hard to play, right? So my point is, be careful when you look to outliers as your example. These are outliers, right? You know, Bill Gates is an outlier. Bill Gates is an outlier. And we can learn things from outliers, but we got to be careful how we process information from outliers. Some people would say, let's say Tiger Woods, in our example, said, hey, I'm buying this stock. A lot of people would attribute, well, he's very successful and rich, so he must know about stocks. And yet you could have a guy who's been in stocks for 2 or 3 years who maybe he's only got 50,000 in the stock market and knows 10 times what Tiger Woods knows. And yet the human brain, back to the value thing, will say, well, the guy with the most money, he must know. And because the brain is wired this way, gurus are able to play on that. It's called the law of big numbers. If you ever study marketing or study social media, or you want to be involved in it, one of the tips and techniques and tricks they'll teach you is you want to push big numbers, because when people see big numbers, it equates to value in their head. If you say something, even in marketing or in ads, national bestseller. Oh, well, if it's a bestseller, it's got to be good, right? But you can buy that, by the way. As seen on Forbes TV, or have seen, you know, at Harvard, like you'll see them play on this. Why? Because it adds the law of big numbers. Oh, shit, it was at Harvard? Well, goddamn, must be good then. You can buy that, by the way. And so marketing people and gurus understand that. And so if you want to use it in trading, all you got to say is, I made 9,000% trading this. 9,000%. That sounds big. You're like, whoa, 9,000%. Law of big numbers. You know, just throw it around, man. Watch your favorite gurus. Watch how they market. It's because they took a course and they learned how to do it. And they know their money's in other people's pockets and wallets. And they know that we fall victim to that. We fall victim. Because if I said to you, hey, I have this amazing trading strategy and I turn $2 into $4, would you like to buy it? Now, most people's brains will go laugh and say, no, thank you. And you go, and I said to you, no, listen, every time I trade $2, I turn it into four every single time. Most people's brains will be like, I don't want that course. Now, my brain goes, that's a 100%. All I got to do is add zeros. Yeah, show it to me, sir. But most people are caught up in law of big numbers. They need to see big numbers for it to be impressive or shiny. It's got to be shiny. You know, I always make the example that a $400 socks will get way more. This is from my own followers, guys. You guys will click a $400 pair of socks. But if I show you some actual shit that could actually make you rich, fucking crickets. Nobody clicks on it. Not even my own friends. Crickets. Crickets. But if I show you a fucking minnow in a bowl and put a Rolex in there and then drop down a Carnegie bracelet, it'd be like, oh, people are clicking on that shit, man. And at some point, you got to ask yourself, why do I do this? Like, what is up? Because I assure you, the 7%ers don't do that. Rich people don't give a shit about some dude's car. They really don't. Warren Buffett is not on Instagram going, wow, look at Chris Johnson's house. That is cool. That he doesn't do that. Nobody rich is doing that. It doesn't work on me. I'm not impressed at all. What I'm impressed with is the fact that me and him are friends and that he learned my strategy. And I know he's a stand-up dude. And I know he really trades. But all that other stuff, I don't give a shit about that. It doesn't help me trade at all. I don't give a fuck what you're wearing or what you show or what you bought at the store. How the hell does that feed my kids? How does that make me a better trader? How does that explain real estate to me? You know, and that's not picking on Chris at all, but I mean, all marketers do this. And so it's a big turnoff for me. The first moment I open their page and they're at the beach, and somehow that equates to trading. It's like, that didn't have shit to do with trading. It should equate to hard work. And maybe you made some trades. Maybe you got yourself there, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what it has to do with it, man. But the way the human brain is, and if you're a marketer and you want to be successful, you're probably going to have to play into it. You know, clickbait, you're going to have to. It's the only way to get the minnow minds to click, man. It really is. People have like 30 seconds. You're going to give them 30 seconds. And then they wonder why they're broke. And it's like, because you watch 30-second fucking sound bites. That's why you're broke, dude. And go ask yourself. Go look at the things you've clicked on. Dude smoking a cigar. Dude drinking Cristal or some wine. Sitting in front of a thing. Girl all blinged out. All fucking nonsense. But what does that cater to, man? What does that cater to, man? That's primitive shit, dude. Rich people do not respond to that. You know that, right? Really wealthy people don't even care about that. They have those things. It's not, they're wanting to know margin compression. Can you explain to me your leverage on this? How much did you put down on that? Explain that cash flow statement to me one more time. The shit that none of my followers want to click on, my lowest viewed videos, the things that actually would help them get the lowest views, blows my mind. But complete nonsense will get tons and tons of views. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't know where it comes from, but it is true. Some of it's age, I guess. But it comes back to this idea of what you argue for. If that's what you're arguing for, the trappings of success, then, you know, maybe you get them. I don't know. But that's not what you're arguing for. What you want to argue for is the underlying thing that got him that. So take the example of my friend Chris. What got him the mansion? What got him that? That's what you want to argue for. You got to go back one step. What got him the car? How did he buy the Lambo? Remember, that was from the AMC trade, right? Well, where did that come from? You say, well, trading. Well, we got to go back one step. Where did that come from? Well, what? Strategy, right? Or learning, like, or you know, what was his process to even find that trade? Or what was probably from other people. You know, I got one that I'm up 47%. It was given to me by someone else. And then I added my research to it, and I went and looked. Why? Other people have my money. And I don't mean just random people sending me tickers. If you just randomly send me a ticker, I really don't give a shit. I'm not going to put any effort into looking up your thing because I don't know you. I don't know that you've been doing this for a while. I don't know, unless you're a student of mine and I know you. You know, if I know you're a legit person or a legit player, then yeah, I'm going to look into that. And once you've established yourself, what happens when you have a network of 30 legit players? Like a Michael Crow send me a text message. I look. You know, buddies that work on Wall Street. I look. What happens when you got 30 to 50 of those every day coming at you and you can take in that information and you understand the market and you understand that all your money comes from other people, meaning that's God trying to bless you, man. So I posted this thing on Twitter yesterday and it was talking a little bit about free money. I'm a huge believer in free money. And you go, what do you mean? It's just free. I've found all kinds of money. I once found a plastic bag with $812 in it. I'm open to finding free money. I look for it all the time when I walk the quarter. Sometimes I'll say a little thing. Hey, give me some money. Let me get a free coffee today. I don't need a free coffee. I'm rich, but I'll take a free one. Meaning I want to find money. I want it to be so easy. It just falls out of my pockets. Like that thought process, just give me free money. And that's come to me so many times in the market, in real estate, and just look, a $20 bill on the ground. Now, those aren't going to be the things that build your legacy, but they're just little bits and pieces, man. Where was it on here? The book that I put on Twitter the other day, I think I have it pinned in my profile. It's called The Trick to Money is Having Some. The Trick to Money is Having Money. And that goes back to what I talk about, the margin. It's the money you don't need. So you got to get to where you have chunks of money you don't need, not little bits. You got to reverse this. This is what Rich Dad Poor Dad is about, meaning reverse the strategy, in which if you've ever heard me talk on the 9 points of getting rich or 9 thoughts, number 3 is structure your life. Until you structure your life, it's impossible to get rich, meaning you have to structure your life different than other people, which will make you weird, okay? Most people have not done this. When you do this, it'll make you weird. And it means, okay, first I invest and then I live. Almost nobody on here does that, because I meet almost no one that does that. What most people do is they pay all their bills, and what's left, then they know how much they can invest. No, no, it is the other way around. And the only way to do that, it means you have to make a lot more money than you need. It's the only way to begin living this. And the way that I've found to begin living it is just to start small. So in my free ebook, I say $10, $10 a day. Well, I'm investing $10 a day. That anybody can do that. Well, let's raise it. Let's go to 100 a day. Why not 1,000 a day? Like, why, you know, make it whatever it can be. But the number's got to push on you. Otherwise, you won't expand. So it's got to be an uncomfortable number, man. He says in this book, The Trick to Money, I reread this book about once or twice a year. It's written by a British guy. It's really out there, but it's really cool on framing your mind on gifts, free money, stuff falling out of the blue. Will you even be opening to receiving it? And I think you have to be open to receive it to receive it. For the most part, free money will only amount to a small percentage of all the money in abundance you'll ever receive. Usually cash flow result from earning and working for it. Both take effort. Neither needs to involve struggle. The trick is to see life in terms of energy. The work you do or the investments you make are part of that overall energy. Thus, the money you receive from those efforts is also energy. By dealing with abundance in energy terms rather than specific dollar values, it allows you to open yourself up to receive infinite amounts, for there is no limit to energy. And as energy is abstract to the mind, it is easy for the mind to accept, whereas it's harder for the mind to accept the concept of infinite amounts of money as being a real possibility. Again, back to the way humans value things, okay? And he's saying, make that switch to making it a form of energy. And when you do that, it's pretty fascinating. So I put on my story this Airbnb that originated from a bad real estate deal. Was it bad? Was it? It was bad at the moment. But over time, that situation changes. So a lot of times we say, well, what's a good dividend stock? I don't know what that means. You mean one that's run up real high right now and is paying an okay dividend? Is that what you mean is a good dividend stock? You mean one that's done well? Because some guys will say, well, this one's a good one. It's done well for me. But I don't want one that's done well, because then how the fuck do I get an edge? I need one that's done bad. And you're like, well, it's bad. Then how can it be good? And so it depends on your definition, man. Right? And so that takes time and experience to understand that concept. And so depending on who you're asking, better ask their experience level before you ask, because you might not like the response they give you. It depends on how they view it. So, you know, one of my most costly over budget real estate deals bought me a beach house that this month made me $6,100 in profit. Was it a bad deal? Not to me. Not 17 years later, right? And think of that energy. And I was thinking on that today. The last paying job I had, I made $12.50 an hour. And I was like, wow, how many hours would I have to work for $6,100? Think of that. It's like 500 hours. 500 hours. Well, let's say I made $25 an hour. That's still like over 200 hours. I didn't do anything. Nothing. Zippo. I did nothing. When I say nothing, I mean nothing. Not a phone call. I didn't look at anything. I didn't send nothing. They just sent me the money. But I bought it, right? So I had to put things in play and then what? Turn it over to a manager, and we keep an eye on the manager. But think of that, $6,000, one transaction. Explain to me again how limited money is. One transaction. But it's like, what's the risk? Says a lot of people would say, because I try to talk them into buying these all the time, and not many do, and a lot push back. And yet everyone that's actually executed on what I show them, like how to buy the beach condo or how to buy the rental, they all come back and thank me. And I got tons, I got thousands of these. Bought my third property, gee, thanks for the motivation. Bought my fifth property. My guy Carlo was just on my YouTube. Again, one of my most lowest viewed videos showed you how to double. He turned a quarter, less than like 200 something thousand into 500,000 in like 7 months. in 7 months. He made $250,000. Not many views. But if I put a car on there with some rap music, oh boy, we get a lot of views then. $400 cashmere socks. Boo, boo, boo. Click, 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 click. Everybody likes that one. Why? There ain't no investment in that. Because if I show you something, now you know. And once you know, subconsciously you know it's your fault if you don't do it. Meaning if I show you how to buy a house and then you don't execute, it's your fault. You get to carry that with you. I fucking chose poverty. Someone met me one day and they sat down and they showed me. And now I know, and I can't unknow once I know. So now you know. See, once someone shows it to you, it's your choice to execute on it or not. And here's the thing, you gotta fight for that. You gotta argue for that. And that's why page 10, the title of that module is be careful what you argue for. You have to argue for it. So the way to accumulate real estate is to start insisting on it right now. This is what I'm doing. And you do like I do. I used to write on my list, buying a beach house. I'd print them off. Like whatever you need to do to help with the visualization. But anybody on here can buy the first property. That's just a matter. You just got to want to fight for it. And everybody doesn't have one. You're just not arguing for it. That's all. You're not fighting for it. They'll give anybody the first house. I mean, insults aside, whatever I could say, they'll literally give anybody the first house. I mean, it's easy. It's when you get to number 3 and 4. That's where it gets challenging. That's when you got to be a stud. So these people you meet that got 8, 9, 10, 12, you're looking at modern day super studs, man. And it could be a female, male, it don't matter. You're a stud. You know how much human energy it takes to get to 12, 13 of these? You got to be a badass. Straight up. You're a person of no excuses. You're a person of execution. You're a person of personal discipline. You're a person that understands the money flow and the way money works and how to double money. Like, you are a badass walking person. Or you're not. You get to choose. Everybody gets to choose. Just float through life. Not taking any risk, which is the greatest risk of all, by the way. So the biggest risk of all is you don't own an Airbnb. That's way riskier than owning an Airbnb, by the way. What's risky about collecting $6,100 a month for doing nothing? What's risky about that? You're like, but what if they break something? I just got $6,100. I'll buy a new one. What if they pee all over the couch? A new couch is like $2,000. I'm still up $4,000. Well, what if next month they break? Okay, we'll fix that too, man. You get what I'm saying? All the risk, everything that everyone thinks is so risky, that's not the risk. You won't even remember that stuff after you bought it. The risk is not owning it. The risk is not owning stocks, not owning stocks. The risk is that for 20-something years, you don't have dividend stocks. Pick any of them, put 50K in it and multiply it by 30 years. You're fucking loaded. Pick one, top 100 stock. You ain't got to be a genius. The top 100, put 50 grand in it. Now, you say, well, I don't have 50. Well, they'll put 500 and 500. My point being, it's just math. And so the risk isn't owning them when they come down. To the minnow mind, they think there's some risk that they come down. Once you become mature and learn the money flow and understand time, times, amount, times yield, you need them to come down. Last thing I want is stocks going up. How am I going to get a bunch? I'm trying to get millions worth. I can't do that if they keep going up. And once you understand that, man, and then once you understand this, like these people will tell me all the time, well, prices are too high on real estate. Well, I guess I'll overpay. Well, what do you mean? I'll fucking overpay. I don't give a fuck, guys. Okay, I'll overpay. You think in 5 years that matters at all? No, it doesn't matter. In 5 years, they're higher than they were. They have been my whole life, dude. So anybody arguing with me against that is stupid. It's my whole life. I lived it. I know. I've been buying properties for 20 years. And there's never been a five-year period in my life where they were cheaper than they were 5 years ago. That it's never happened. Now, I'm not saying you run out and do it wrong, but if you halfway know how to do it, then anything that's holding you back now, any of these arbitrary fears, just nonsense. You're not even going to remember it. So if I asked you, when You remember that? Remember the oil crash in 2015? You remember that? Nobody remembers that. Nobody remembers. They only remember the last one. You know, they don't remember that. None of these things that you worry about today, will you'll even remember in 10 years. You won't remember them at all. The things you struggled about, the things you fought with your spouse about 2 months ago, you don't even remember now. So most of these things that keep us from doing big things or taking shots and accumulate, like all these things, these are just momentary worries that over time are nothing. They don't even exist. You don't even remember them anymore. So all these guys, all you guys sitting on 50, 60, 70,000, you're not making moves? Suckers, man. Just suckers. People just sitting on cash, just suckers. They call it something else. Truth is, it's fear. It's fear. They're fearful. You know why? Because they think that's a lot of money. It's like, that 50's not going to make you, man. That little 50 grand you saved up, that's not, you're not going to look back when you're an old man and be like, well, grandson, let me tell you, one day I had $50,000 and I bought this and that's what set our family on this. This is what did it. It's not how it works, man. You got to go get another 50. Put that to work. And then you go get another 50 and you put that to work. You know, or 30 or 20, whatever. Adjust it for you and your it's fractal system. Right? So no billionaire on planet Earth is going, you remember that one time that I put that 100,000? That's not how their story plays out, man. Like before Tesla was PayPal for Elon, right? Like they're all doing something else, man. It's a process. It's a procedure. And the guy that owns shit tons of real estate bought one house one time and he went all in. And he doesn't remember the problems or the fear. He's not there anymore. So anything that's holding you back, you won't even remember. That's my point. It's not even a thought. It's not recorded in the universe, man. It's not even recorded, man. So fight for this stuff, man. Be mindful of what you argue for. A life worth living is a life worth recording. Buy a journal now and begin to document new people who will appear almost as if by magic. Now attempt, if you will, to be open to it and let them show you something else, more prosperity, and to take you where more abundant and less struggle. That's good, man. I reread this book all the time. If you don't have my book, The Two Selves, you're doing yourself a disservice. I think it'll really, 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 really help you, man. Do we got a few more people on here? We got a few more people, man. I appreciate everybody that came in. But be careful what you argue for. And hopefully I hit a nerve. I talk with a lot of people sitting on 50, 60 grand. It's like, what are you doing? For what? Okay, let's say you sit on it for 20 years. What good did it do you? None. 20 years later, you can't even buy a car with it. Like, that's how invaluable cash is. Now, we need cash to execute on deals. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. My point is just sitting on money. No, it's like, no, you need to go think about what you want to do to execute. Not into stupid things. I'm not saying that. But I'm talking about the guy who's just sitting and you're like, man, but what if, and you start adding up all this stuff that you really don't know anything about. You don't know where the housing market's going. Neither do I. No one on YouTube knows. And then their plan is if they're going to do some masterful stroke, that will have been the deal. That then looking back, they'll tell their grandkids how they navigated the housing crisis of 2022. Nonsense. It's going to be because you bought one now and then next year and the year after and then you bought one. Then you did an equity deal and pulled it out and purchased it. You won't even remember that deal. I can't even tell you the particulars around most of mine. Unless I just sit and really, really think, or there was just something odd about it. And I've been through so many ups and downs of business cycles. And a lot of people I see waiting to execute on some sort of cycle. You don't even have enough money that if you got it right, it would make a big damn deal. And you're not putting down, you're not buying the whole damn thing. So when they say, well, the price is 380, you're not giving 380. You need just 70 for that. So my friend Carlo bought an 8-unit dump in Houston. It was 380 grand, 380 grand. So what did he do? He didn't have he needed 72,000 down. He didn't have it. He had some in cash. He liquidated some stocks. Sometimes people act like that's such a big deal. Bro, you sell the stocks You get the deal. The next day, you're putting money back into the brokerage account. It's unlimited. You know how many times I've sold stocks to buy a car because I didn't want car payments? Why? Because I want to argue for. I'm arguing. No payments. Refuse. None. I will have no car payments. So I'm fighting for that, which means I got to make a different move. I got to make a hard move. That's what arguments are, right? So you could get in a fight and argue and get shot in a McDonald's parking lot over a space, or you could argue for your money. And you wonder, did those guys that are about to go eat each other in McDonald's parking lot, you think they argue this hard for their money? Probably not. Probably not. Most people fight for nonsense. Their whole lives dedicated to fighting about nonsense. Shit on Twitter and politics and Biden, and who gives a damn? Really don't care what the Republicans or Democrats do. That has nothing to do with me acquiring more property this year. I got to play the hand that's dealt to me. That's what I'm arguing over. That's what I give a shit about. Most people can tell you more about politics than how to buy a house. That's why they're broke. Everything they know is nonsense. Sports stats, this, none of that's making you any money, but they know all about it, man. So you have to switch that, man. You got to change the things you're focused on, what you're thinking about, because what you think about actually is what comes about. So if you're thinking on political unrest and arguments and what the Democrats are doing, there's no debate. Their president's an idiot. Like, that's not for discussion. But that's not helping me acquire my next property. So I can only devote so much brain power to that. If I send a tweet about it, I'm wasting time. You know. And every once in a while, I'll catch myself doing it. But I got to reel that in, man. Any time spent on things like that is totally time I could have put working toward my new course, my new book, getting the financing on this new, like something that could have pushed me forward, man. Not to say you don't need downtime. You need downtime, but make it something that's not argumentative and divisive. Make it something that'll bring people together, man. I see so many people fighting over that stuff. It's so nonsensical. So much of that stuff. And they're going to pull you in with political parties and racial groups and this, and none of that's pushing you forward, man. That's somebody else's agenda, not yours. You know, you'll see it in the gay community, in the minority communities. You'll see it in my community. You know, a big one in mine is gun rights. Okay, well, I don't need anybody to give me my, I have a right, I have guns, I'm good, thank you. I'm not devoting to your cause. I'm not posting about it. I'm not doing any of that shit, man, because I'm trying to take care of me. And so what do? They go around and get all the rednecks with no money, give them money. And how did that benefit them? That didn't at all. You know, and they get caught up in all that, man, arguing about nonsense. Didn't help them out. Now, they're not arguing about their car payments like that. They're not fighting for that. They're not posting, God, I'm so mad at myself for getting a car payment. Like, they're not putting any effort into that. But in all this other divisive stuff, man, they'll put time and energy in. You see people do it on all levels, and it's like, dude, it's stealing your money because it steals your time and your energy, and money is energy. Don't mistake it. It is energy, man, and the life force that you assemble, man. Be mindful what you argue for. There was another spot I was going to hit. Let's see. That same life force that created the world has connected us. Remember, I asked you to suspend disbelief. Oh, in my book, I asked people to just go with it. Don't argue against it for a first. That urgency that I feel to speak my message is the same urgency that you will feel to hear the message. Back to only looking for people looking for me. Deep down, you probably already know this to be true. I'm just a reminder from the universe for you to argue for what you already know is true. Your money will grow to the measure that you are willing to argue for it to multiply. Same with your business. Same with your career, by the way. All that stuff is interconnected. Super spiritual, man. Money's super spiritual. And not the way you see them do it today where they connect it to the poor and somehow being poor is fucking pious and holy and it's all nonsense. It's all nonsense, man. Connecting that to poverty. It's ridiculous. There is no deity that wants to keep you poor. Right out of chapter 5 of The Science of Getting Rich says you must get rid of the last vestige of the old idea that there's a deity whose will it is that you should be poor, whose purpose would be served by keeping you in poverty. The intelligent substance, which is all and in all and which lives in all, call that energy, is a conscious living substance. Being consciously living substance, it must have the nature and inherent desire of every living intelligence for the increase of life. Everything must continually seek for the engagement of its own life, because life in the mere act of living must increase. So ask yourself, is the activity I'm engaged in, is it increasing life or decreasing life? Is it taking from me or is it improving me? And then you can see if you're wasting time. And it's not 100% perfect. It's just like, what is the majority of your time on? Is it spent on and arguing for things that will improve your situation, improve your prosperity, improve your place in life? Or is it causing conflict and arguments and disagreements? And we see that on all sides, across all spectrums, man. So be careful of that. It will zap you. It'll zap your wealth. It'll zap your friends and anything that cuts you off to other people, like posting some racist shit or saying whatever. It's just cutting you off to money. You know, like it just cuts you off to it. Whether, and this is on all sides, man. I see some people post it all the time and I'm like, well, I'd never do business with that guy. He lost me as a customer. Like, you know, and maybe his point was true, but it was the way he presented it. He lost me. And if that's his goal, cool. But that's not my goal. My goal is like, I don't care if you're Indian, native Indian, from India, born here, not born here, Irish, whatever, man. I'm trying to teach people how to trade stocks. I'm trying to teach people how to get rich and abundant. The only way God can answer prayers is through other people. So if I show this dude how to get abundant and he goes on and put his kid through college debt free and that kid goes on to then run, I get a bump on that. That's called the karmic action, right? That kid could become a senator or a president. And it's because that dude bought my book, got his shit together, and then went on to raise his family with a different way of seeing life, man. And I get a cut on that. I get a cut on that. I get a cut on everything. Like, not in reality, but like everything Chris Johnson and people that I've taught. And I didn't teach them everything, but I taught them a little bit. And if they went and spread that little bit, guess what? That pays to me. Same to you, man. The butterfly effect. Other people have your money. So when I put my stuff out, I already believe that here. Other people have my money. Chris bumps into my book, reads the book, says, this looks good. Think I'll share it with my people. Wada boom, bada bang. Other people have my money. Strangers. So my friends didn't buy my book. My mama didn't buy my book. My daddy didn't buy my book. My cousin didn't buy it. My brother. Not a single person in my family ever bought anything that I've ever produced. They're not going to buy your album. They're not going to buy your art. They're not going to buy houses from you. They're not going to buy their cars from you. They're probably not going to buy their insurance from you. Other people, strangers. And so I got to push my intent out there. So I had to write it and put it out there for Chris to stumble on it, right? So that his strangers could become my strangers. And some of those people then become friends, man. Mm-hmm. And some of those people you can deeply profound and they affect someone else who affects someone else. And that's how God works, man. I don't care what God you believe in. He answers prayers through other people. It doesn't just magically appear, you know. And if you don't believe in him, well, you know, you got to believe in something. And I don't know this, but there is such a thing as a chain reaction, you know. And guess what? I blessed him. He turned around and blessed me. It's amazing, man. And that's the way the universe, I was taught real estate from a guy on vacation on a piece of paper and one chance meeting on a day, and it went on to change my life. And down the road, he's one of my friends and we discuss money. And now guess what? I'm way better at stocks than he is. And so I get to return the favor. Strangers, man, you're only one or two people away from a total breakthrough. Maybe I'm one of those people. Maybe I'm not. Maybe you just go from me and you bounce to this guy, that one of my friends that I show you, and that guy changes your life. Then I still played a little bitty role in that, right? So, man, anyway, my goal is always to edify, bless, and help other people. It's never to, maybe my technique and my delivery could use some polishing, but that's always, it's just to snap and to grab people's attention. You know, it's like, did he just say that? And it's like, yeah, I'm trying to get your attention, man. So I hope I did that. I appreciate everyone that listens. Appreciate everybody on the podcast, whether you're watching by video or on the actual Money Flow Trading Society's podcast. If you don't know, I have two podcasts. One is Total Mindset, all about the book Science of Getting Rich. I've been doing it for 4 years. It's only on Apple iTunes, okay? And it's called The Science of Getting Rich with Gerald Peters. It has nothing to do with trading, although, you know, shit slips in. It's all about mindset. It's a 4-year book study I've been doing on the book, the Science of Getting Rich, just mindset and philosophy. And I have one over on Spotify called the Money Flow Trading Society. You ever want to be on there, hit me up. Most of the guests that I have on there are just people that I meet, traders, friends of mine, usually people I've become friends with, who are out doing it. I've got guys on there bought their first house. I got guys on there bought their 28th house. So go check out that. I try to do this. I try to do interviews every third or fourth podcast, and I'd be happy to have you on there. And you can go check out thepetersreport.com. Most of you know that. See where I publish my trades. God bless. All right. Yes, 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 yes. Hey, guys, thanks for listening to the Money Flow Trading Society's podcast, Mastering the Trade. You can always find out more about me, our organizations, our books, our courses, and get my copy of my free ebook, You Don't Have to Die Broke, at geraldpeters.info, geraldpeters.info. Till the next episode, God bless.